Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. I'm the host, Travis Loop, and this episode features Carla Reed, who is the CEO and General Manager of the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission. How are you doing today?
Hi, Travis. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this conversation.
Me too.
I've seen you a few times. I saw you speak at the Water Rally for Water last spring at Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. I saw you speak at WEF Tech as part of the WEF Talks about mentoring. So I wanted to kind of catch up with you for an episode of this podcast. I think you got a lot of great perspective to share on water. Could you just kind of give our listeners the summary or whatever about just kind of Washington, WSSC as it's called, and just kind of your customer base and all that good stuff?
So the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission is the largest water and wastewater utility in the state of Maryland. We serve 1.8 million customers in Prince George's and Montgomery counties. And of course, our mission is to provide safe, reliable, clean water to all of those customers. And we've been doing this for nearly 100 years.
Nearly 100 years.
Yeah, we've been doing it since 1918. So in 2018, we turned 100.
Uh-oh. Better have some big plans to celebrate that. Huh? That's exciting stuff.
Yes.
And so, like I said, the first time I saw you was at the Rally for Clean Water last March. And you were the final speaker of a pretty distinguished panel, members of Congress and other great water leaders, but you really brought the energy level up the highest. yeah, you had some great chants going and all that. What gives you all that energy when it comes to water?
Okay, so the first thing that gets me excited about water is just simply the mission. I love the mission, the clean water mission.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody anywhere doing anything can do it without clean, safe water. So every day I get up, I'm so pumped up just because of that. And just because you asked me that question, I'm getting pumped up now.
That's right.
The other thing that gives me a lot of energy to do this work is the people that I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I have a passion for people. The first people that I have a passion for are my H2O people, my fellow coworkers, my employees.
How many are there at WSSC?
We have over 1,700 employees here at WSSC.
Okay.
And then our 1.8 million customers.
Right.
I adore them and want to make sure that they're served well because they deserve it and they need it. And lastly, all of our other stakeholders, elected officials, the businesses that we deal with on a daily basis, all of those people give me the passion and the charge to be energetic in what I do because I can't afford not to be.
Yeah.
And I guess it doesn't really hurt that I was a cheerleader in college and high school. So that's where the H2O chant came from.
I'm telling you, exactly. And you brought that to that rally and that was good. I don't know how anybody could have gone on after you and after you got everybody pumped up like that. So that's good. I'll try to, I think we have a video clip of that. So I'll try to attach it to this podcast so people can see that.
Yeah. And then plus, if I could just say, I really feel like it's time for the water industry to speak up, to be vocal, to express the challenges that we're facing, which are some really, pretty tough challenges. Our aging infrastructure, customer affordability, and having the resources to make sure that we take care of those issues. Those are really important issues. And I think by virtue of our industry, all of that infrastructure is primarily out of sight, out of mind. So we really have to speak up and have everybody think of our buried infrastructure the way they think of the infrastructure that they can see visibly.
Yeah, sure.
That's not buried. So that's the other thing, that if you couple all these things together, I get pretty psyched up.
Yeah. So you think that's, you think there's kind of a new, as a new part of the job description, maybe for general managers of utilities is like cheerleader, and that they need to take more of that public facing, get people excited about water and aware of the challenges and all that?
Absolutely. I don't see how you get the job done without that. To mm-hmm. have people identify with the challenges and have it resonate for them, the importance of water and the challenges you're trying to overcome with the aging infrastructure. So cheer, make sure that you spread the word and, you know, be a leader, be out front, be vocal and really get it out there, because we need all the help we can get to work on these problems, because they're not going to get easier in the mm-hmm, future. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that part of the job description kind of folds into all those other employees too? Your 1,700 folks, but then at other utilities, do you think that it's something that they should be ambassadors to?
Yes. I don't know if you see my vision board, but
we got a vision board.
I got a vision board. It says, "What's our story?" Yeah. And you see the WSSC symbol in there. Yep. That's not just for me to tell the story. It's for all of our employees to understand what our story is and to be ambassadors. And as you spread the good word, the good word spreads.
Yeah.
So we definitely have to know how we make our story real to the people we touch every day.
Yeah, sure. Shifting gears a little bit, when I was kind of reading your background, your bio online, you know, you mentioned the 100-year history mark coming up next year.
Yes.
And it says that, you know, you're the first woman to serve as CEO and general manager of WSSC in its 100-year history. What does that mean to you?
Well, okay, so what it means to me is that it's an incredible responsibility. That's mm-hmm. the first thing it means to me, because I take our mission so seriously. I mean, I can't afford a single mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot deliver. Oh, there's too many double negatives.
But, I can do what you're saying.
Yes, I have to be right on point every single time. We've never had a drinking water violation in our 100-year anniversary in the 100 years.
Yeah.
And I don't expect that there will be one ever in the history of WSSC. So it's an honor to have that tremendous responsibility. And thirdly, it's my privilege to do it. I mean, I get so much enjoyment out of serving that it's sort of secondary that I'm a woman. That I think first I'm a leader. And I've done the work, put in the work to prepare to be here. I mean, I started my career here at WSSC in 1986.
Okay.
And I stayed here for 20 years. I went away for 10.
Oh.
To work in both counties that we serve. And I came back 2 years ago. So first I'm a leader, one who's prepared, ready, willing, excited to lead this great organization and do the work of the organization. Yeah. And I do understand that people are watching me. I am the first woman. I'm the 12th general manager of this organization.
Okay.
I know that they're watching. I know that there are other women who probably consider me to be a role model. So I take that seriously.
Sure.
I don't minimize that's a real thing for people. So I do everything that I can do to make sure that I'm presenting the example of what it is to be a leader, what it takes to get here, and what it takes to make sure that whatever I do in the time that I'm serving lasts forever, that it's sustainable, that we leave a legacy, and this organization is stronger and better than it's ever been.
Yeah. So you mentioned you started in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
So you started in the water sector, you know, that's like 30 years ago. How has the presence and the role of women in the water sector changed during your career? What kind of changes have you seen?
Okay. So, it's still a very male-dominated industry, that's for sure. But I have seen an increase in women coming into the industry, mm-hmm. which is which gives me great pleasure to see that. It's still an area where that's kind of new to women. I look at the when I first made it to the senior leadership level in 2000, mm-hmm. We had more women on our senior leadership team than I think any of the previous leadership teams had. And my leadership team is nearly 50% women.
Okay.
So that's a huge change.
Sure.
The other thing that has changed in our industry is that we have the need to, you know, pick up the maintenance, the sometimes neglected maintenance that has occurred over the years. And so now we're faced with, you know, how do we address it now? And how do we make sure that there is there's a plan to deal with it for the future?
So that's more of an issue now than 30 years ago. It's just kind of that maintenance piece and the aging that you mentioned a couple times, the aging of the infrastructure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's catching up to us.
It's catching up to us.
Yeah.
We're paying the piper now.
Another piece that I read in your bio and which you highlighted when you spoke at WEFTEC, which I think is fascinating, is that you've served, I'm going to rattle all these off, you've served as the Chief of Mission Support, the Chief of Customer Care, Meter Services Division Manager, Northern Meter Operations Section Head, Meter Maintenance Head, Field Operations Supervisor, and Civil Engineer. So you've worn a ton of different hats, like from across the utility. What's talk about the perspective that gave you on a water utility.
The perspective that that gave me is that I could speak to starting off at an entry-level civil engineer position and working my way up to general manager, from civil engineer, CE, to CEO. And
I like that.
Yeah, and so...
See, so I want to interview you. I knew you had these great little sound bites like that. CE to CEO.
Yeah, CE to CEO.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
Right.
So I personally felt the need to be prepared at every single level to understand the organization in a way, in a deep way. And I think that each one of those levels of responsibility gives you a different perspective on what's required to lead an organization. I mean, as a civil engineer, I didn't have much of a leadership role. But what I tried to do in that position was to differentiate myself from other civil engineers so that I could be ready, always one step ahead, ready for the next level.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned as a civil engineer was about our budgets. And when it came time to compete for the next level, I was one of probably the only candidate who could say that I've experienced doing budgets. I understand that part of the organization. And so it's just, I think, the dues you have to pay in order to prepare yourself to aspire to a role like CEO, which I had a lot of seeds planted along the way in my life to help me know that that's what I wanted to do. I'm probably the happiest I've ever been in my life because I really feel like I'm in my sweet spot.
Yeah.
Like, this is the place I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I can remember a time that I would drive by this building and I would fixate my eyes on the 12th floor, which is the floor we're on now, and imagining myself in this very space.
Wow.
And it
has to feel incredible to like you said, to be here.
It does. But it wasn't easy to get here, Travis.
Yeah.
It was not easy to get here. I had a bunch of stumbles and falls and disappointments along the way. I mean, as a matter of fact, the first time I applied to be CEO, I didn't get the job. But I didn't let that setback set me back. I kept, you know, moving forward. What else can I do? It's always a constant. You can't be satisfied with yourself. You always have to be thinking about, well, what's next? How can I improve on myself?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of great advice or a great blueprint for younger people in the water sector is hearing someone who's a CEO and a GM of a utility this size who was so strategic along the way and took these very concerted steps to get experiences, and with a, you know, the 12th floor in mind, mm-hmm. if you will. So,
Travis, if I could tell you, I didn't realize I was being strategic, though. I didn't realize that's what I was doing at all. I think
but you were trying to learn.
I was trying to learn. I was trying to be mindful of the people I was interacting with, the people I was looking at their, how they went about doing their work.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like I was strategic. Mm-hmm. It definitely looks like it. And the result looks like I was being strategic, but I don't personally feel like I was really being that deliberate.
Well, very related to this, I want to just go to the talking about, again, at WEF Tech, and you gave a WEF talk for about 10 minutes or so focused on mentorship, and I think that really connects with what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit, maybe your condensed version of that mentorship mm-hmm. speech and how that connects to what you know, your career path?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So mentorship for me has always been organic. I call it organic because I've never asked anybody to be my mentor. Mm. And nobody has ever asked me, can I mentor you? So that's what I mean by organic. Sure. It happened naturally. And so the first thing that happened to me that gave me my first clue that I was going to be in the water business was my dad took a picture of me at my Aunt Ethel's house in the bathroom on Christmas Day when I was about 5 years old. And so I'm in the bathroom, of course, with every single symbol of the water industry.
Uh-huh.
Toilets, sinks,
showers,
some piping. and he takes a picture of me. But there I have five other siblings, and he's never taken a picture of any of my other sibling in the bathroom like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm the only one who has that.
It kind of jumped out at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, my photographic mentor. He took that picture, and I lost track of that picture for a long time. And in some recent years, I found it again.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that was my first clue that I was going to be in the water business. So let's fast forward. I go to college. I go to Howard University. One summer, I didn't get an internship, but I worked in the engineering student services office. There was an administrative assistant there, and she knew that I was preparing to go into the workforce. And so she just casually mentioned, have you thought about applying to WSSC? And I said, no, I don't even know what WSSC is. I'm a native Washingtonian, so I'm from Washington, D.C., and so I wasn't familiar with the water and wastewater utility that served Prince George's in Montgomery County, Maryland.
Makes sense.
So, but I took her advice. I applied to WSSC, and a couple of weeks later, I found out that I was going to be an entry-level civil engineer here at WSSC. So that set the stage. I'm in the space that I needed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got here, I had some great people leading me along the way. My first supervisor told me, you could be general manager one day.
I was
a hothead when I first got here. He had to advise me on calming down.
channel that energy.
Yeah, channel that energy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, talk about the energy again. Yeah, channel that energy. Get yourself together. And you can be general manager one day. You can really run this organization. So that put a light bulb in my head.
Sure.
That's when I started, every time coming by this building, I started looking up.
Mm.
Then there were a couple of women here at WSSC who were in leadership roles. I mean, I was a civil engineer, but they were in leadership roles. And for whatever reason, they invited me to go to dinner with them occasionally.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they would talk about, you know, their leadership, and I would, you know, pick up everything, pick up, you know, some bits of advice that they would drop. And I said, well, I was thinking in my head, if I got to be a leader, what I would do in that situation.
Uh-huh.
So it was that kind of just naturally evolving advice, prophecy, all those things. Ooh, sorry.
That's all right.
Everything coming together to help me figure out what I wanted to do. And then in 2000, I got my first opportunity to really be in the senior executive level. Mm-hmm. The then general manager, John Griffin, gave me an opportunity to run the largest team in WSSC that consisted of 500 people. You know, we have 1,700 here, so 500
Which team
people.
Was that?
That was the customer care team.
Okay.
Customer care team consisted of what we do with customers and billing and all that, meter mm-hmm. reading, but it also dealt with the maintenance of the water and sewer system. So replacing pipes was also part of customer care. It was all that joined, anything to touch the customer.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And so that's what I feel mentorship is. Well, that's what it's been to me. It's been organically, naturally evolving. And
But things that kind of, each time it spurred you along the way, it kind of was like, hey, here's a door here. Here's a path you could go mm-hmm. down, and just kind of opened things up for you in a natural way, like you said.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, the Water Environment Federation is really focusing on mentorship right now. It's an area of emphasis. We're encouraging water professionals to kind of to take time for mentorship, to try to be more conscious about it. Maybe less organic, but really trying to, mm-hmm. Find time for mentorship. Why do you think mentorship is important in the water sector as a whole? Or why do you think it makes sense for WEF to be emphasizing that right now?
Well, one of the reasons why I think that it's important is because we have an aging workforce. Mm-hmm. I mean, at WSSC alone, 40% of our workforce is in position to retire.
Wow.
And so mentorship is like a necessary thing. And mm-hmm. I don't think we're unique to the mm-hmm. industry.
No, I don't. I think that's a
fairly
industry-wide number.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have to be doing all the coaching and mentoring we can to make sure that the bench is deep. I mean, mm-hmm. it's for really the survival of the industry. I think it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be mandatory and required mm-hmm. That we do mentorship and that we bring the next generation. That's our duty, I think,
mm-hmm.
to lead the place better than we found it. And that means making sure that the next line of leaders and engineers are here prepared to do the work without having a severe brain drain.
Right.
And then it takes the person wanting the person to be mentored, the mentee wanting to be mentored
mm-hmm.
And wanting to be open to advice that could help them grow or at least learn about who they are. Because I think as much as the mentor ship relationship is about the mentors, about the mentee too. Look at the word mentor.
Right.
What are the first two letters? M-E. It's me.
Yeah,
you know, you have to be, you know, on board and on point and ready to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you think, you know, the young professionals or young people out there are interested in water careers like the way you were? And do you think that there's a lot of talk about millennials or this and millennials or that. Do you think mentorship is something millennials are open to and interested in? That's a two-part question there. First part, are young people interested in water careers?
I have to say yes.
Okay.
How could they not be? If they're interested in future survival, you've got to be interested
mm-hmm.
in this career.
Yeah.
And I think what we can do as industry professionals is make sure that we introduce the field of engineering to the various age levels and grade levels of potential employees.
Mm-hmm.
So we've started something called Introduce a Girl to Engineering, and we do that during Engineers Week. We're about to embark on an apprenticeship program for high school students who may not want to go to college but want really lucrative careers in the water industry. So we're trying to do our part to make sure that people are aware.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, that we cannot be the silent, nice, buried
mm-hmm.
infrastructure. You know, we have to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be visible. We have to let people know how incredible this field is and spark that interest.
Yeah. And then do you think or do you see young people, millennials, let's say, that mentorship, where does mentorship fit with millennials? Do you think they're open to mentorship? Do you think they want mentorship?
I think they do. I mean, I
not that we're sitting here passing judgment millennials or anything, you know.
Yeah, I do think that they want to be mentored. Mm-hmm. I think that anyone who is shown the benefits of doing something or having choices. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's even just not even about just our industry. It's about the learning and the education to know that there are choices out there, and this mm-hmm. is a viable one. And what benefits can it bring to you? So sure, I think millennials would be open to it. We have quite a few millennials who work here who mm-hmm. are very interested in what's next and how they can grow in this industry. Yeah.
Great. Last question I had for you was mm-hmm. circling back. You mentioned how you worked for both Montgomery and Prince George's County governments.
Yes.
You worked for Prince George's County Executive as the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer for Economic Development and Public Infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So in this position, you led all the operations related to economic development, including permitting, transportation, environmental matters, tourism. I just wonder what type of perspective maybe that position gave you on the role of water in the local economy. I mean, you obviously have a view of that from your time here, mm-hmm. but when you were with local government in that economic development kind of mindset, just thoughts on how water fits into local economy.
Water is critical to the local economy. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't have any job, any industry that doesn't need water at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I worked in Prince George's as well as Montgomery County, I got a inside view of how the respective counties viewed WSSC mm. and the role of water. Mm. So I'm really glad that I left and ventured out to learn how WSSC is viewed by the county governments.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, WSSC has had a lot to learn from just seeing how other people think of us.
Mm-hmm.
That there's not a lot of, we're an engineering company, we're an environmental company.
Hmm.
And I throw in the third E now, we're an economic development company. Again, because
absolutely.
There's no job that gets created that doesn't have something to do with water,
yeah.
needing water or, needing water in some way or fashion.
Sure.
So that means being sensitive to the stakeholders and knowing what they need to get done,
mm-hmm.
Making it easy to do business with. I talk about simplify, focus, connect. Simplifying is making it easy to do business with us, making it so we can understand what we need and we understand what you need, but in not a bureaucratic sense, but a real defined, simplified
mm-hmm.
version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to the focus. You know, what's important to you? What are your priorities? We want to focus on those. And we want to make those connections. What do you need? What do we need? How can we help?
Yeah.
And so in sitting in both of the places, I've been able to, understand through the lens of others what they need from WSSC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's helped our organization to grow tremendously, certainly based on what the respective counties tell me they have really enjoyed working with WSSC since we've gained some new perspective on how they see us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had quite a few success stories. There were a number of projects that were kind of stalled
mm-hmm.
in limbo, and we were able to, make sure we understood what was needed and got those projects finished.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these two counties are really booming areas, a lot of growth going on, a lot of development going
yes.
on, a lot of, great, doing well from an economic standpoint. So you guys mm-hmm. feed into that vital part of it.
And we're there up front in the beginning stages of the development because we have employees who review plans in both
mm.
county permitting agencies
mm-hmm.
so that if they're dealing with a client, the client doesn't have to come here to the headquarters building. They can be right in the county governments where they're doing permitting already. We're there. So again, another way to simplify and make things easier and to demonstrate that we are a partner in this. We are a partner in economic development. So engineering, environmental, and economic development.
Yeah. Good. Well, I really appreciate the conversation. I think you share a lot of great thoughts there, gave some new slogans out for the water sector to use, that CE to CEO. I'm going to give that some traction, too, for you. But thank you so much. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Travis. I enjoyed it, too. I didn't know I was going to enjoy it this much, but thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Words on water.